You're about to listen to an episode of Childhood Remastered.
Check out our website at childhoodremastered.com for information on how to subscribe and where to find us on social media.
Now, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Childhood Remastered podcast. This is the podcast where we look back on the cartoons and TV shows and movies and whatnot of our youth and see if they're still worth a damn.
Or not.
Or not, which is far too often the case, but not the case with the show that we're going to be looking at today. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're going to be looking at a show that actually was the basis for the Disney Afternoon. And that show is The Adventures of the Gummy Bears. And carries, faithful and friendly, with stories to share. All through the forest, they sing out in chorus, marching along as their song fills the air. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond compare. They are the gummy bears. Magic and mystery are part of their history, along with the secret of gummy berry juice. The legend is growing, they take pride in knowing the fight for what's right in whatever they do. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond compare. They are the gummy bears. They are the gummy bears. Now, this show, like I said, it was the basis of the Disney Afternoon. Those of you who are old enough to remember the Disney Afternoon, it was a block of shows in the afternoon, afternoon time slot from about 3 until 5. And this show, because of its popularity, was the cornerstone of that burgeoning animation block.
Yes. This show is widely given credit, and I think rightfully so, as being the reason why we got the kind of second wave resurgence of high quality animation out of Disney. But I don't know if it's necessarily just Gummy Bears or if it's Michael Eisner, which we'll kind of get into in a few minutes. You mentioned the afternoon block, but this show started at 8:30 in the morning on NBC. That was originally its time slot, September 14th, 1985.
Yeah, we were just talking about this right before we went on air. This show is 32 years old.
Yeah, so this show is probably older than some of our listeners.
Yeah.
Well, today we're just doing some Simple Fosters because it's what we had available. So that's what we're drinking.
And sometimes I like drinking out of the giant, what is it, 32-ounce can?
It's the only can that I feel like is like the right size for my hand. The other ones, they feel small.
Yeah. You know what? This is actually very appropriate. Because it makes me feel like a kid again. Not drinking the beer, just the size of the can in my hand. Maybe drinking the beer too, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. So, okay, let's talk about Gummy Bears a little bit. So, it did come out in 85, and at the same time, a show that came out with it is one that my wife has been petitioning for us to cover for a while now. It's The Wuzzles, which aired the same day and time, but on CBS. It was also created by Eisner for Disney.
Was The Wuzzles... I think I get that show mixed up with something else. Was The Wuzzles the one where there were two animals that combined to make a third animal?
It was like a Wuzzles. Lion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was like a lion and a bee.
Yeah.
And like an elephant.
Yeah,
and a hippo or something.
The lion and the bee's name was Bumbleion.
That's clever.
Didn't look anything up. That's just in my brain.
That's clever. Okay, so that is the show that I'm... Like, I think I mix up that show and like Shirt Tales. Which is...
I don't know what Shirt Tales is.
Shirt Tales or the Get Along Gang. They're all kinds of weird... never mind.
Mentioning the animal mixes reminded me of one of the other ones. Rhinoki, which is a monkey but with a rhinoceros horn. Like, that's his one thing. It's like, he's the monkey with a rhinoceros horn.
I mean, good for him. Affirmative action in practice.
Yeah, sure. What the hell? I don't care. But, I love The Wuzzles. It was another show that I liked as a kid. Now,
we're not talking about The Wuzzles, though. We're talking about Gummy Bears. So, did you watch Gummy Bears when you were a kid?
So much Gummy Bears. This show, okay, it aired in 85, and then it moved over to ABC for the fourth season, from 89 to 90. Or sorry, from 89 to 90, it aired on ABC with the New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, after its several seasons on NBC. Then the show ended September 6th of 91 as part of the Disney Afternoon block. So it spent another year as part of that Disney Afternoon block. And in that first year, it was this show, Gummy Bears, and then it was DuckTales, and then it was Rescue Rangers, followed by Tailspin, in that order. And that's why you can find that anywhere, but also it's like in my brain. It's in there. But I the reason why I wanted to mention that is I watched the show several times. I do remember watching it when I was very little, probably about the same age as my kid is. So she's 3.5. So I remember watching it back when it was on NBC. And then when it got picked up for the New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, the Gummy Bears Winnie the Pooh Hour, I watched it then. And then I watched it as part of the afternoon. And then it went into a syndicated rerun on the Disney Channel later in the mid-90s. And I was definitely past the age demographic for the show, I think. I was like junior high. And I remember, I think it was maybe eighth grade. They did like a big marathon for the whole summer. Mm. And I did my damnedest not to miss. Because I was wanting to know what happened. I never got to find out the ending of what happened when they ended up in the other city. I was like, I have to know! And so I watched it all thinking that there'd be some conclusion. And then I missed like the last three episodes because we went on vacation. I was so mad.
Did you ever finish those last episodes?
I have not, but I'm going to.
You know, can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
I didn't watch this show all the way through. I don't know what happens at the end.
Oh, you don't know?
So I know that they go to the new city.
Oh, that's right, because we were talking about it before we went and got lunch, that you sort of, like, you forgot about the new city and stuff.
Like, I remember it, but I don't know what happened at the very end. Like, I know they meet some new gummy bears, and they
forge a friendship, and then they become friends with humans, and there's all, it gets nutty.
And there's a lot of back and forth between them communicating with the great gummies across the sea, and like I don't know if those gummies ever showed up. And
yeah, I don't remember like those particulars because it's I'm 34 and this was
32 years ago.
Well
that would have been like 20 something years ago.
Yeah, 20 something years ago probably when the last time I was watching Gummy Bears. And then I had a kid who's awesome, and I show her Gummy Bears. I started showing her Gummy Bears around the time that we started discussing this. We were, I think, messaging back and forth sort of about this, trying to figure out when did we start, like, kind of conceptualizing the idea for the show.
Yeah.
And it was 2016. I think it was, like, was it
July or
I think it was June. Like, beginning of June, we talked about it, and then a few weeks went by, and then we recorded the prologue, and then we recorded a bunch of episodes, and then we started the show. And during that time is when I started showing her Gummy Bears. And
you said that you told us when we were at lunch, you told us a funny story about what happened to you last night while you were watching Gummy Bears.
Okay, yeah. Before we get into more of the show then, I'll mention that. So my kid does like Gummy Bears, but, you know, kids get into this mode where they want to watch something and that's all they want to watch. Watch the same episode 40 billion times until your brain wants to explode. And they do that. They'll just pick something random. And I would prefer it to be something that I don't hate, like, say, Gummy Bears. But sometimes it's something that I...
Some awful YouTube video that you have to watch a billion times.
Yeah, Daddy Finger One More Time will destroy my computer. no, so I... Sometimes I let her watch them separately, sometimes I don't. I didn't have her watch the specific episodes that we watched today because I already know her opinion of Gummy Bears. And the story, I think it will illustrate that. So I sent her to bed. And then I thought, okay, this is a good time. I'm going to sit down and watch it and take some notes and stuff. And so she's in bed, and I get through like the first episode or two, and I hear her door, and I look down the hall, and I see her, and she cries, and she goes running back to her bed or whatever. My wife goes back there and checks on her, and turns out, and she's crying. She's very upset, and then I had to go in there and talk to her because she was upset I was watching Gummy Bears without her, and that she was missing episodes. And she was upset because she hadn't watched Gummy Bears in a long time, she said. I hadn't watched Gummy Bears in so long, and Daddy's going to watch it without me, and we always watch cartoons together. And so I had to go in there and promise not to watch any more Gummy Bears until the next day when she could wake up and watch them with me. So I imagine that is some sort of an endorsement from a 3-year-old.
Yeah, I would say so. Your watching it without her brought her to tears.
Yes. Let's go over what you remember.
For me, I vaguely remember early on, because it was early when in our lives when this show came on. I mean, 85, we were 2 years old, two and a half, something. So I vaguely remember it. I remember it more in later seasons when it was, you know, when I was obviously older and it moved and it was paired up. I definitely remember when it was paired up with Winnie the Pooh, and I absolutely remember when it was part of the Disney Afternoon. And then I got more of a refresher when it was syndicated on Disney Afternoon. I can't even think straight. When it was syndicated on the Disney Channel, I did the same thing. I would watch it religiously when I was...
Yeah, it was like 8th or 9th grade.
Yeah, I was like over the summer. 13 years old.
I can even tell you the time that it was on locally. I still remember that its syndication time for the new episode that they would show, not the rerun from the one the day before, was at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so
why do I remember that? It was like...
I don't know. That information is occupying a valuable space in your brain that something else could be used.
My brain is full of all kinds of just weird shit like that makes no sense.
So I remember it, and I remember it fondly. I mean, I remember being super, and I'll talk about this a little later, but I remember being super, you know, the storyline really engaged my young mind. There's part of the show that's like goofy and sort of slapstick and whatever. And then there's I'll argue like maybe a deeper part of the show that maybe adult can get into. I was going to go
into myself later too.
Yeah. So like there's something that adults can see. And I would argue that they could probably remake Gummy Bears in a modern day time and almost make it more adult, I think.
I was going to say they could probably just re-show Gummy Bears, remaster it, throw it on TV, and people would eat that shit up.
No, and I agree, but
I don't mean like relegate it to some like nonsense channel. I mean put it on like
Disney Channel.
I mean they
or Disney XD or something.
Yeah, so I mean they have a ready-made franchise that they could just make money on
that they already know was very popular.
When obviously, it was on. Yeah, which we're gonna get into. But no,
I'll talk about it later. But I think that you could definitely rework the show if they wanted to just revamp it and like do a new with new voices and whatnot.
Yeah,
they could definitely revamp it and make it more geared towards older teens and maybe even adults.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, so let's talk about the show then.
Yeah, the show is Disney.
This show is actually created by Michael Eisner. The idea for it was created by Michael
Eisner. We've mentioned that before, I think. You mentioned how he was inspired by the show because his kids wanted some gummy bears.
Yeah, literally wanted the candy. Wanted a gummy bear candy. And somehow that triggered something in Michael Eisner's brain to come up with the idea for a cartoon starring anthropomorphic gummy bears.
Yeah.
And you can sort of tell, based on the color palettes and stuff, that he literally took inspiration from the candies, because gummy bear candies are all different colors, and all of the bears in this show, all the main gummy bears, are all different colors too.
Yeah.
So it's like he took the candy and just turned them into characters.
Yeah. I wanted to, before we continue, I just wanted to just briefly say what the show is.
Yes.
I'm sure we have people who are listening who have no idea what the show is. If that's the case, shame on you. Go away. Watch it and come back.
No, don't go away.
No, just watch it. Temporarily. Yeah. And come back. No, the show is essentially a story about, it's like, it happens in the Middle Ages.
Yep.
Right? And it's knights and ogres and stuff. And it's, there's like a big tree filled with anthropomorphic bears that live together, and they drink Deus Ex Machina juice that gives them superpowers that they make, and the bad guy's always trying to get a hold of because he wants to conquer the neighboring human castle. There's two humans in that castle that are their friends. One's a boy and one's a girl, and they kind of assist them with adventures, and they're always kind of getting into trouble or doing things and solving problems, that's the show.
It's a mostly episodic show that deals with like a problem of the day, but there's also this underlying
This
underlying current of sort of an epic like connection to a once great society.
Yes, yeah.
And that's something that they bring up constantly, because there are these ancient gummies that they talk about that were friends to the humans and that had, I mean, it's essentially Atlantis. Like ancient gummies are Atlantis because they had this advanced technology and they had advanced science and
then they disappear and there's and no explanation.
Yeah, and they disappeared generations ago. So a contingent of the gummy bears had stayed behind with the humans because like it was almost like in Tolkien, like they all the gummy bears sailed across the sea to another land.
To someplace.
Yeah, and they left some in the human land, and those ones, their descendants are the gummies that we encounter in the show.
Yes. So, as we mentioned, Eisner created the show, one of the co-creators. It was also created by Art Vitello, but the two of them made the show together. Michael Eisner, we talked about back when we covered one of our other episodes, Black Cauldron, because he is the one who replaced the outgoing chairman and CEO at Disney. He held that position from 84 to 2005. That's when they ousted Ron Miller. Part of his job as chairman and CEO was to be kind of the face of the Wonderful World of Disney, which is
I absolutely remember that.
Right.
It was on Sunday nights.
This is where Mr. Boogity originally aired in 1986, yep. Which I'm hoping we can get to in Halloween. I'm petitioning for Mr. Boogity for Halloween. So under his leadership, they got a hold of Miramax Films in 93, and they led what's commonly referred to as the Disney Renaissance, which occurred from 88 to 99. The Disney Renaissance, by the way, will kind of, I think in future episodes we may do some. We've had a couple of fan emails. One in particular asked us to touch on the Disney Renaissance, and I think we'll probably get to that. This show does technically meet that definition, so we've satisfied your answer. Now go away. No, I'm just kidding.
The Disney Renaissance, if you don't know, is... think about the shows. Think about the movies that came out from 88 to 99.
And the shows.
You have, or at least just the movies. You have Little Mermaid, you have Lion King, Aladdin, you have...
Tarzan. Mulan, Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
So you have all these...
Sean's personal favorite, Treasure Planet and Lost... Planet. Was it Atlantis?
Oh, Atlantis is such a good movie.
No, they're not great.
Atlantis is great. Atlantis is great.
All right. To each your own.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, we don't need to go too far into Eisner. We could actually spend a whole podcast actually on Michael Eisner, but he did kind of get ousted in... what was it, 2005, 2006? That was part of... Disney had actually taken a bomb dive, and they weren't doing so well. By then, Pixar had been making films. Like, the first Toy Story had already come out. And that was when they did kind of took a leap of faith and purchased Pixar, which everybody said that's kind of their last, like, chance, because Disney was having a lot of problems at the time. And
it's kind of worked out well for them since.
It kind of worked out. I'd say the money they made on Frozen was probably enough.
Yeah.
Not to mention the more later one, Zootopia and Moana and all these other ones,
exactly.
You know. So the one of the other creators is Jim Mangan, who created, story edited, and wrote on shows like Gummy Bears and DuckTales, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Other shows that we've covered, like Darkwing Duck. We mentioned Goof Troop before when we did our Goofy movie coverage.
I think we've talked about Quack Pack a little bit, too.
Yeah, we did talk about Quack Pack a little bit, but we'll probably get into it a little bit more next week in the coming weeks, because we're going to maybe be discussing other shows in the lineup.
Yep.
And he did work on Goofy movie, and Casper, A Spirited Beginning, some other just stuff, and then the All Dogs Go to Heaven movies. The one that I wanted to mention was he was a producer, creative consultant on Titanic, The Legend Goes On, which has been labeled as one of the worst films ever made. Did you see the point that I put in our notes?
Yeah, I did.
There is a guy who's got a YouTube channel. His name is JonTron, and he did coverage of that Titanic movie a couple years ago, and it was actually really funny. But
yeah, go check that out if you haven't already.
Yeah, it is really, really funny. We don't really need to get into the big long list of producers, but needless to say that some of the creators also have producer credits. Theme music?
Theme music is probably one of the more memorable things in this show because...
it was performed by John Williams' son.
Yeah.
Joseph Williams.
Yeah, he was a one-time lead singer of Toto.
Yeah.
and you know what? I will say that for a show that is essentially a medieval fantasy type setting... I feel like the theme song really works with that. It's sort of like a... It always makes me think of the singers from the Rankin and Bass, like, Hobbit
films. Yeah, yeah.
Where it's sort of that, like, sing-songy, like...
It absolutely fits the feel of what they're going for.
Yeah.
And the music...
And it's super catchy.
It was composed by Michael and Patty Silversher. They were a married couple. They've since split, but they still work together. And they also did the music for Spin It.
Tailspin. Yeah.
Also one of my other favorites. Actually, really, the whole Disney afternoon lineup, they have the best intros ever.
Yeah. Now, and like I said, the theme song sets the tone for the series, and it's super catchy. If you've heard it once, you could probably sing it a million times. Yeah. Like, it sticks in your head.
I was telling Sean has since denied my suggestion, but I thought it would be fun if him and I attempted to try and sing the song with no music and from memory. But I don't know if some of you want that kind of punishment, but no. I have it in my brain. It's seared in there forever.
I can also recall all the words, but I don't want to sing.
The question is, so can you recall all the notes?
Well, I
maybe
can, yeah. Sometimes I'll. What is it? I was reading.
Maybe some. We'll do. Let's. You know what'd be funny is that let's do karaoke one time, and we'll just request a bunch of Disney Afternoon intro music. Yeah,
if they even have those,
I'm sure they could find it. Really quickly, the show had a total of 94 distinct episodes overall. Some of those were linked together as double features. Some of them were 11. Most of them were 11 minute cartoons that they mashed together. This show had. It has the most seasons of any of the Disney cartoon shows, but not the most
episodes.
It's got 94 distinct episodes total, but 6 seasons. DuckTales had over 100 episodes, but in just 3 years.
Yeah, that's a lot packed into 3 years.
It is a lot packed into 3 years, which is why DuckTales, trying to watch all of DuckTales does feel rather daunting.
Yeah.
I think it's something like 140-something episodes, something crazy. I don't remember off the top of my head.
It's like trying to pick up and watch like Inuyasha or Bleach or One Piece or something. It's many episodes? Jesus.
Well, you know, when I never got around to watching Naruto when it came out.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's a lot of filler episodes, but like my obsessive compulsive need to be
just like in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I'm a completionist, so I gotta like do every one of them. I decided to finally go back and watch Naruto because I missed it. And because at the time I heard there was filler. And I was like, I'll just wait until it's done. And then it was like 10 years later, it's still going. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And so then I said, well, F it. I'm just going to get into it. So DuckTales, not nearly as bad. Yeah. But it does over 100 episodes. Same thing with this show, over 100 episodes. But this is more doable because a lot of them are 11 minutes long.
Yeah. No, and that's what's great about this. There's only a couple of episodes that are double episodes where they're actually like 22 minutes long. So... a lot of times you can double it up and get two for the price of one. Let's talk about where this show takes place. There's a number of different locales. The main one where the gummy bears live is called Gummy Glen. It's a hollowed out tree that is the main gummy bear's home for the first part of the show.
The
majority of the show. It's essentially a giant, like I said, a giant hollow tree, but has these labyrinthian caverns underneath it. That have all kinds of rooms because in certain flashbacks you see that the gummies that used to live in Gummy Glen, like there was lots and lots of them, so they needed a lot of rooms. Like that was a main place where they lived. So essentially you have 6 gummy bears living in a house.
For like 40, probably.
Probably more than that.
Like, maybe more, yeah. But they have this underground tunnel network.
Called the Quick Tunnels.
Called the Quick Tunnels. And what they look like is log flume rides from like a theme park.
Yeah.
But they have like an eagle head on the front. And they go really fast. So there's no water. It's just...
It's like a roller coaster.
Like almost. A bobsled.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And we were talking about earlier, and this is something that...
Holy mother of God, of any of the shows that deserve its own ride, it's this goddamn show.
Yeah. This is a show... And we were talking about this, like, if anybody who's ever been to...
It wouldn't even take any real difficulty to conceptualize.
No, and
it's already built out for you.
Yeah, anybody who's ever been to Disneyland and is familiar with the Splash Mountain ride, Splash Mountain is a ride, for those of you who don't know, Splash Mountain is a log flume ride, and it is based around the most controversial film that Disney ever put out, called The Song of the South. Which is funny because it is a film that Disney has buried and done their best to distance themselves from, because it is, we've talked about it before.
It's a little bit, yeah, we have.
It's a movie about a, you know, one of the happy plantation slaves who tells stories to the master's children, and it sort of makes light of the whole master-slave relationship and sort of paints it in a good way, whatever. So it's a very controversial movie, and they built a ride around it. And it's not like they built this ride in 1970 or 1960. They built this ride in the 90s.
Well, July 17th of 89 is when it opened. Okay, I remember because I was there the Sean and I live in Orange County.
And I had a grandmother that worked at Disneyland, so I spent a lot of my youth at Disneyland.
Yeah, and I didn't have that, but I mean, I grew up here, so it was definitely a part of my...
It used to be a lot cheaper to go to Disneyland.
Way cheaper.
You could get in for like $40 when we were kids.
No, cheaper than that.
$30.
No, cheaper.
Because it was like a Southern California discount.
When we were in high school... Sean, when you and I were in high school, I used to have a Disneyland pass, and my pass, you can
get it for like $100 and get in for most of the time.
I had the deluxe pass, and it was $129, and they raised it $10, and I thought that was highway robbery.
Yeah, now
but I loved it, because that's where I would go to get, like, you go to, like, pick up chicks at Disneyland. That was, like, a thing that you do. You smuggle in. Don't do this, but you could smuggle in booze.
They're a lot stricter now. They actually check you at the entrance. They check your bags and stuff.
You can't do this. But this is back in the mid-90s. You could, like, sneak,
high school time.
Yeah.
But... Oh, you know, this is so like white people, aren't white people. This is so like first world bragging. You know, what did you do when you were in high school? Oh, we used to hang out at the Dairy Queen or whatever.
We used to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, we used to hang out at Disneyland. We'd hang out at the Carnation Hall and like swing dance.
No, you go hang out in front of the phone bank over near Tomorrowland. That's where where you pick up chicks.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you know what my favorite piece of trivia about Disneyland is?
What is it?
All of the plants in Tomorrowland are edible.
Oh, that's cool.
They're either herbs or fruit trees.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned Tomorrowland.
Or they're some kind of vegetables.
I'm glad you mentioned Tomorrowland because gummy bears, for a very limited time in 91, did sort of get its own ride, but not really. It was like a half-assed attempt. There's this motorboat ride that they had.
I don't remember that at all. Oh,
I know you don't. So if you go into Disneyland in Southern California in Anaheim, there is a small section as you're walking towards Small World. There's a little section sort of on the right after you pass the Matterhorn. And over there, it just looks like a bunch of tables set up like on a dock going out into the water. That was where the line was for the motorboat ride.
Okay.
And so you could line up there. And the motorboat ride went through all of that water and through a bunch of section that's now been backfilled as decoration for Autopia, as part of the Autopia reopen later in the early 2000s. That used to be part of this big boat ride that was on a track just like Autopia. During the early 90s, they had this little thing that they did that was Nicktoon-oriented, this little section.
Not Disney Afternoon-oriented.
Yeah, sorry, not Nicktoon. I'm going back.
You're regressing.
Regressing to last week, no. It was Disney Afternoon themed, and they took plywood cutouts of the characters. They like staked them into the ground throughout the ride. I mean, it looked like they're making gummy berry juice around the water.
That is vaguely familiar.
And around Autopia, they also had it, but for Rescue Rangers, Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Because
That's also vaguely familiar.
I would remember driving along and getting really excited when I saw Zipper or Monterey Jack, because those were my two favorite characters.
Yeah. Now that we're jogging my memory, that is vaguely familiar.
Vaguely familiar? Yeah. Well, it didn't stay open for long, and then they closed it, and then that ride got closed forever, so, you know, you can't ride it now. But gummy bears should have been Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
There's no reason it shouldn't have been Splash Mountain. I could conceptualize all of this out right now
rather than a whim
and do it better than they probably could
planning. The thing is you could talk to somebody today and say, tell me everything you know about Uncle Remus. Uncle Remus' story is the Song of the South. And that you'll get maybe some people that talk about the controversy and whatever, but not anybody is really going to talk about what actually happened in the movie. But if you tend to someone and talk, say, tell me about gummy bears, they'll probably tell you episodes, their favorite gummy bear, this and that. It makes more sense because it's a more popular property. Like, I don't understand. To this day, I do not understand how they built a ride around that property.
It's the most perplexing thing to base a ride around what is essentially an animated whitewashing of
minstrel show,
of a minstrel show, you know, with a pseudo Uncle Tom character and a bunch of like semi racist depiction with the Tar Baby and all of this stuff.
The Tar Baby's in the ride too, which is seriously hilarious.
All of that is, why would you make a ride on that? And then they later, I mean, oh God, it's a whole discussion. I just don't.
Yeah.
It's just so perplexing to me, Sean. I don't.
You're yeah.
I'm full fucking flabbergasted.
And that's the crazy thing. Like, at the time, that's even the crazier thing. Because at the time when that ride was being built, and the time that it opened, Gummy Bears was a super popular show.
Yes.
Wow. But you know what? I'm not.
Hell, they could have made one on DuckTales too. Another iconic popular show. They chose not to do that, and they instead based it off of a racist cartoon show.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Gummy Bears. The other things that we have.
So we got Gummy Glen, which is where they live. Castle Dunwin, the humans.
Castle Dreckmore, which is where the bad guys live. It's essentially your what was it in He-Man? There was Castle Grayskull, was a good guy, and Skull Mountain.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's like Skull Mountain.
And then that's, well, there's other stuff in the later episodes, but we're not going to cover those because we didn't watch any on that.
So let's talk about our gummies. There's six main gummies.
Did you have a favorite gummy when you were a kid?
I kind of liked, this is going to probably sound like, you know, people that are arguing for Cyclops as their favorite X-Men. I kind of liked Gruffy.
That was my favorite gummy too. No, that's why I asked, because he doesn't seem like he'd be somebody who'd be your favorite, but I loved Gruffy. He always just seemed like he had his shit together.
Yeah, so
what I mean?
Yeah, so Gruffy is if you had to describe the Gummy Bears as a family, Gruffy is essentially the dad.
He's the paternalistic father figure.
None of the Gummy Bears are related.
Only one with tools. He fixes stuff. He's angry. He likes everything done, quote, the gummy way.
Yeah, he's a traditionalist. And you know what?
Liked him because he's so a ridiculous caricature, but...
Yeah, and once we finish talking about the gummies, I'm going to bring this up, so remind me. So, none of the gummies are related, and that's what I want you to remind me of. None of the gummies are familially related.
I know where you're going, but okay. Okay,
so... So we have Gruffy, who is voiced by Bill Scott in the first season. And Bill Scott is, we would recognize his voice, and we were talking about this earlier, he is the voice of Bullwinkle, which Bullwinkle is probably the closest voice to Gruffy. He sort of has that.
A little bit, yeah.
He's also the voice of Mr. Peabody from the Bullwinkle Show, and Dudley Do-Right, which is it's the Bullwinkle Show, too.
And he was Moosel in the Wuzzles. Now, the reason why I put that in there, do you know why I put that in there?
I do not.
Well, one, yes, Wuzzles and this show came out on the same day, but on different channels, but made by the same people.
Mm-hmm.
When Bill Scott died, because he actually did a bunch of characters on the Wuzzles, when he died, the Wuzzles did not get picked up again.
Oh.
Wuzzles got one 13-episode run. That was it. When he died, gone. No more Wuzzles. Instead, they replaced Bill Scott with Corey Burton
for seasons two through six
on Gummy Bears, but instead just canceled the Wuzzles. That made no sense to me, because the Wuzzles also a super cool show.
Yeah.
I hope we get to cover it.
Yeah. So Bill Scott, when he was doing the show, he was about 60. He was born in 1920. The show came, maybe 65.
Yeah.
The show came out in 85. I mean, when he was recording, he was probably 64. But then we have Zummy Gummy, who is voiced by the
infamous Paul Winchell.
Yeah. Paul Winchell, who was the original voice of Tigger and Gargamel.
Yeah, we mentioned that in, I think we mentioned that in our coverage of, what did we talk about him in? I think we mentioned him in our coverage of the Mickey's Christmas Carol. We might have talked about him a little bit.
Maybe. I know we've talked about him in reference to Jim Cummings, because Jim Cummings has taken over a lot of his roles.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And I think I had mentioned this before, but Paul Winchell held 30 different patents, and one of which was for an early artificial heart valve that he developed with Heimlich, the guy who invented the Heimlich maneuver. Sorry, I didn't mean to nerd out.
Yeah.
Like, I even put it in the notes. Sorry, this stuff is super interesting and also kind of my day job. So,
so
I didn't mean to, like, go on a tangent, but I really think that's interesting that, you know, he was a big voice actor.
But he was also, like, a scientist.
But he was a scientist, yeah. Or, at the very least, an inquisitive mind who was out to invent.
Yeah, so
you know?
he voiced Zummy, who is... Zummy is the magician, and he is described as the keeper of gummy lore and the stories.
Yeah.
He becomes the gummy magician once they unlock, in the first episode, they unlock the Great Book of Gummy, which gives him access to all the spells, because in the gummy world, magic is defined as knowing the right words to create the spells and not necessarily having an innate ability.
He is kind of a bumbling idiot, but he does seem to be the one who quite often will have foresight to try and say, you know, maybe we should preserve this. Maybe let's try and fix this. Let's do this because we might need it later. He seems to be
He's the historian of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also, his little comic foible is that he suffers from spoonerisms. He reverses the first letter of words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he'll be in a sad bituation. Oh, a bad situation or something. Yeah. You know, like he'll reverse those. I have to say that the magic, you know, I'm reminded of
Flamite.
Magic in Gummy Bears, or at least the gummy magic, reminds me of Zatanna's magic in DC, where she reverses, Zatanna's magic words in DC is her saying words backwards.
Basically.
The magic in Gummy Bears that Zummy uses is essentially like almost pig Latin.
Lamite, commandamo, numo!
Like, that, the light candles now, you know, like, he switches around the words, which actually, now that I'm thinking about it and saying it out loud, kind of makes his spoonerisms make sense.
Because it's like his brain thinks in magic.
Yeah. So he was voiced by Paul Winchell until his death.
And then Jim Cummings replaced him. Which we've mentioned a billion times because Jim Cummings is like the guy. We're going to mention him again because we may be doing some stuff on Chippendale soon. So,
Tailspin.
Yeah,
Jasmine. Yeah. So then we got Granny Gummy, who is the essential mother of the group.
Now, I did watch a lot of these episodes. So the episodes that we watched, I've watched several seasons because my kid watched a lot of Gummy Bears. And I also watch a lot of DuckTales because she loves DuckTales. Granny Gummy is done by June Foray, who is still alive at the time of this recording.
And May 14th, 2017.
And she turns 100 September 18th, 2017. So if she's dead by the time that this releases, not our fault.
Now, she is an absolutely prolific voice actress.
Now, the reason why I mentioned DuckTales is because I cannot unhear Magicka Dispel. I can't. She is Magicka Dispel. To me, more than she is Grammy Gummy. She's most famous for being Rocky the Flying Squirrel from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Also, she was Natasha. She was both characters.
Yeah, she was.
So, she was both of those.
I really hope at some point we get to do Rocky and Bullwinkle, because I really liked Rocky and Bullwinkle as a kid. It played in rerun syndication in the 80s on Nickelodeon when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a lot of it then. She's also a Jokey Smurf and Cindy Lou Who from How the Grinch Stole Christmas back in the, the 60s,
70s? 68,
something like that. Yeah.
No, she has a very distinct voice, and if you just... I'll play it right now.
Leave the boy alone, Gruffy Gummy. He's proved that he's trustworthy.
So if you've heard that voice, you've probably heard it in 100 different cartoons.
Basically, yeah. And she's still recording. Well, up at the moment that we're discussing right now. She voiced the wife of the man getting dunked in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I believe it's in the movie. I'd say 90% sure it's in the movie. It could also be in the ride, but I looked everywhere to find out who the voice was for the ride. I couldn't find it. Maybe I just am stupid. I don't know. But she's the one who goes, "Don't tell him, Carlos. Don't be cheeking," on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sorry.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. "Don't tell him, Carlos. No.
And don't then she gets be shot. Cheeking. Yeah, and then he dunks him in the water. Yeah.
Yeah, so the thing about Grammy is her important role. So like Gruffy fixes everything. He's the mechanic and the
whatever.
Kind of like the voice of reason for everybody.
But he's half like the time, not always.
Yeah. He's the overly cautious one. He's like, "This is too dangerous. We can't do it. No." And then Zummy is the one who's more inquisitive and wants to. Grammy is the one who, she's maternal. She talks to the kids because there are two kid gummy bears. She talks to the kids like a mother. Her main role, though, is she is the only one, up until a certain point, who knows how to make the gummy berry juice.
Yeah.
That's her major role. She cooks the gummy berry juice.
For that certain point, by the way, is not an episode we're going to discuss, but I watched it and I remember it. Do you remember it?
No, I do. I do.
Yeah. That's a really funny episode where she teaches the recipe to Sunny, yeah, and Sunny messes it up.
Yeah,
and then
the gummy berry juice ends up doing weird things to them.
Yeah, Sunny, I think, it's kidnapped by Igthorn, the evil bad guy, and she, yeah, they
he makes he wants forces her to
make it. Yeah, and well, they kidnap Grammy and try to make Grammy do it, and she intentionally messes the recipe up on purpose, and it does all kinds of weird stuff to him, and then Sunny has to make real gummy berry juice from memory, and it's like a thing.
Yeah, so. Then we have Tummy Gummy, who, I guess out of everyone, he is the weirdest one, I think.
See, I was going to say he's the most useless.
Well, that's what I mean. He's the weirdest one. He's the one that doesn't have a point.
His point is that he's fat and he eats a lot.
Yeah, he's sort of the
comic. And he bumbles shit up all the time.
Yeah, he's the comic relief character, but he does, like, have... He does have a use.
Quite often, he's mostly the butt of the joke, though. He's not even like he's got a funny line. It's usually like they're making fun of him.
So Tummy Gummy is voiced by Lorenzo Music, who was in... He was Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters. He's Garfield in Garfield.
Oh, like great Lorenzo Music.
Yeah, Lorenzo Music. Oh. So, like we said, Tummy Gummy is the fat one that eats everything. He is an avid sailor, as is made evident in one of the episodes that we watched.
The one I picked.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he's a sailor. He is of the... He's the sort of the middle. He's the... In terms of age, he's the middle between, like, Gruffy and Grammy and then the two kids. He's, I guess you would say he's like a teenager.
He's like an adult child.
Yeah. If you've ever... You know what it reminds me of? So if you've ever seen the cartoon Duckman...
Oh, yes.
In Duckman, I feel like he's the equivalent of Ajax in Duckman.
Yeah, okay.
Duckman's oldest son.
Yeah, no,
He's sort of like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but I'm having a good time. So, yeah.
We got Sunny, is voiced by Katie Lee, who is Honker Muddlefoot on Darkwing, and apparently she's also the voice of the Maharaja in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I saw that in your notes, and I wonder if... The kid that played the Maharaja, like, had a super thick accent.
It was a dub over.
Yeah, because this is a joke between some of my older friends, is my friend Brian. We always talk about in Temple of Doom, you know, the village elder where the guy steals the rocks, their sacred stones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you have the village elder at the end, who tells Indy, he's like, now you see the magic of the rock? So that guy couldn't speak a freaking word of English. He was literally just repeating things that Steven Spielberg was telling him. Like, he was repeating word for word the lines, just sounding them out exactly how he said them, because he did not speak any English at all. So I'm wondering if the kid who played the Maharaja was like the same thing. Like, he was just repeating lines.
It probably was, and then it was just dub over. That's what I thought it was. But
yeah, so Sunny is the preteen, like, she's angsty. The second youngest. She's the one that wants to be like a princess. She's yellow. She's the yellow gummy bear, and she is just
she's depicted to be sort of whimsical.
Yeah, she's kind of your typical like preteen girl.
Yeah.
She's concerned with fashion and being liked.
And she's dressed sort of like Peter Pan.
Yeah, and she eventually becomes, like, best friends with the princess of the castle.
Yeah. Her girlfriend.
Yeah, girlfriend. Yeah.
And then you got Cubby, who's the pink little boy.
Yeah.
He's always, like, going on adventures.
Voiced by Noel North.
Yeah, Noel North. Noel North has done some live-action stuff and some animation stuff. Like Saturday Morning Supercade and some voicing for Aro Monsters and The Legend of Prince Valiant. She was a live action role in Carrie, the 76 original, and some other stuff. We don't really need to get too into it, but
yeah. So Cubby is essentially your little kid stand in character. He's the one that wants to be a great hero. He wants to be a great gummy knight. He has a little wooden sword that he uses all the time. He's the one that's always ready for an adventure and wants to just be out there and doing stuff. And he's best friends with Kevin, who is the page.
Yeah, and he has an alternate
alter ego. He has a crime-fighting alter ego called The Crimson Avenger, where he puts on like a weird hat and a mask.
And I think you see it in a couple of episodes too. But there's the last gummy that we're going to really get into is Augustus Gummy, or Gusto.
Yeah, Gusto.
And Gusto isn't introduced until episode 21. But then he's a mainstay character for the rest of the show. They do actually show him in the intro of the show. If you watch the intro closely, they show his face in the intro, but really you don't see him until season 2. Yeah. That's because, of course, like most shows, they would animate a giant block of them ahead of time. He's voiced by Rob Paulsen. We've talked about a billion times because he's Yakko Warner and Pinky from Pinky and the Brain and Raphael from TMNT.
Yeah, he's Raphael's voice. It's Raphael's voice. In this.
Yeah, he's basically Raphael's voice. Yeah. Exactly.
And Gusto is essentially the antithesis of Gruffy.
Yes, he is Gruffy's polar opposite. He's an artist. He's got a pet bird.
He's whimsical. He's...
It's all about the inspiration.
Yeah, he doesn't plan anything. He just does it. Like you said, he's a stereotypical artist. And there's a couple episodes where the interaction between Gruffy and Gusto is used as a point of contention because they are literally polar opposites in how they view the world.
Yeah, basically. There's other gummies I don't think we need to mention really, except I did just want to mention when they get to the later cities or whatever, there's a guy named Mr. Thornberry that I very much remember.
Yeah,
apparently is also the voice of the Keebler elf.
Ernie.
Yeah.
The main elf.
His name's Walker Edmonston. And then... Gritty, who's the one with the eye patch?
Yes.
Is voiced by Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
And the other ones we don't really need to get into. Yeah. But,
so there's a couple good humans in the show.
Just we'll go breeze through them.
Yeah. So we got Cavan.
Voiced by Christian Jacobs, who's the co-creator of Yo Gabba Gabba. And that was season 1. Season 2, he's David Faustino.
Who was married with children
and Mr. Boogity.
Mr. Boogity.
I put that in there. I'm pushing Mr. Boogity this year hard. I'm out there pushing.
Yeah, and then Jason Martson, who we've talked about before in season 4 and 5. Then we have...
RJ Wilson Williams, founder and CEO of Young Hollywood. It's an international media company. He's also the voice of Kit Cloud Kicker from Tailspin.
Yeah.
Then we have Princess Kala,
who is Noelle North.
Again.
And you can sort of tell that there's not a lot of difference between Kala's voice and Sunny's voice. They're pretty much the same voice.
They are very similar.
Which is weird when the two of them are talking to each other.
Oh, the other thing is... Noelle North did is she did some voices for Jem.
Yeah, and also. Smurfs.
And Smurfs, yeah.
So you have King Gregor, who's voiced by Michael Ray, and I think his big old claim to fame, other than Gummy Bears, is he was the narrator of the greatest adventure, Stories from the Bible.
Okay, that's not his greatest claim to fame, but I put that in there because did I send you a link to this? Or
no.
Okay, so I'll put a link to this in the description. When I was a kid, my parents, I don't know where they got these VHS copies from, but it's basically three kids. It's two white kids and then a brown helper kid. No, that's not an inaccurate description. In fact, they even say their helper, Moki, is the kid's name. And they end up getting dropped. They're in Egypt and they fall into the sand and they find this Egyptian artifact that lets them travel through time and they go back to like old Bible stories. And he's the narrator. And
see, the only Bible stories that I remember watching when I was a kid
it's
was...
It's not good. It's no, so bad.
The only Bible stories that I remember watching when I was a kid, and I remember because I went to Catholic school basically my entire life, is in like first and second grade, they would wheel in the TV. You know, the AV TV that was all like strapped down to the...
Big metal box with the wheels? Yeah.
Yeah, so they'd wheel that thing in and we would watch Davy and Goliath. Which was the inspiration for the Adult Swim show Moral Oral.
Like, I love Moral Oral.
So Davy and Goliath.
I know, I've seen it.
I remember watching it, and like every episode had like a moral, but it was when we watched it, I don't know if it was in black and white regularly, but when we watched it, it was black and white.
Because it was the nuns, they wanted you, it was all about more pain, so they made you watch it in a black and white TV.
We watched Moral Oral. No, we watched Davy and Goliath.
That would have been so great.
We watched Davy and Goliath in black and white on this TV, and they're like...
So that's how you started the trivia team for Catholic school dropouts.
Yeah, Catholic school dropouts, even though I graduated. That was our trivia team for like bar trivia, was Catholic school dropouts.
That's actually how we met, was bar trivia.
The majority of the people on the team were on... We're graduates of Catholic school, so we thought it was
funny. Grew up Catholic or something. Yeah.
So Davy and Goliath, where where you had this kid who would run into these moral quandaries, and then he would have to discuss them with his dog, who was named Goliath. And the dog, I remember, was like, "Well, I don't know, Davey. I don't think that's a very good way to do it."
Just watch more Oral. You don't even need to watch this. Just watch more Oral.
It's just creepy. Like a kid talking to his dog, demon-possessed dog.
Basically. Anyway. Let's skip over some of these human ones. I want to go to the villains. We got Duke Igthorn.
Yeah.
They call him Dookie.
Yeah, because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the joke, is they call him Uncle Dookie, right?
Yeah, and it's weird because...
Or Commander Dookie, right?
No, it's Uncle Dookie. So, Igthorn is supposed to be... It's almost like a Lucifer God type thing. He was supposed to be the most decorated and best knight in Dunwin, which is the good people's
castle. And
then
he tried to, like, rebel and take the kingdom.
Yeah,
and
he tried to overthrow the king, and they kicked him out.
Yeah, and then he's got a little miniature ogre that comes with him everywhere named Toady. Toadwort. Yeah. Also,
and he's literally a toady. He's just like Toad from X-Men. He's literally a toady. He's like, "Oh, Dookie. Oh, that's such a great idea." Like,
yeah. Now Corey Burton also took over for Toadwort, like he did for the other character.
Yeah, because Bill Scott voiced Toadwort. He also voiced Sir Tuxford, who we didn't talk about. He voiced actually a couple characters in the show, and then when he died,
Now I forgot to mention earlier, but Corey Burton is the voice of. I forgot to mention, he's the voice of one of the characters from the Tartakovsky Clone Wars and the 3D animated. Yeah, Count Dooku.
Okay, you put Duke, and I was trying to think of who it would have been. It's Count Dooku.
I had to autocorrect.
He's the voice of Count Dooku.
I was like, wait a second. No, yeah, it's Count Dooku.
Count Dookie.
And then Lady Bane is not a character that we're going to cover here. But she's voiced by Tress MacNeille.
Who's been in a million things.
And creators of the show took inspiration for her character from Lucrezia Borgia, the famous historical figure from Italian politics back in the Renaissance.
Yeah. So Lady Bane is Duke.
She doesn't appear till several episodes in. I want to say like 20-something episodes in.
She's essentially Duke Igthorn's like love interest, even though she shows no interest in him. She just sort of uses him for stuff, and he's smitten by her.
Let's
talk about the show.
Yeah.
So like we said, the show is episodic for the most part. There's a couple overarching storylines. There's maybe an overarching theme of this show, which is the gummies are trying to reconnect with their history.
It's almost like they're trying to reconnect with their world.
Yeah.
And they've been cut off for so long that they don't know how any of their technology works.
Yeah, they're completely... They don't understand...
You know what it sort of reminds me of? I know it's like not the same thing, but it sort of reminds me of Planet of the Apes.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, in that like it's been so many generations that nobody knows how anything works.
Yeah, and so... I was thinking this as I was watching the show, and I actually did a Google search because I was trying to understand whether or not I was on the right path with my line of thinking. And the thing that I searched for are gummy bears immortal in the show? Because that's the only thing that makes sense to me, that they would have to be kind of immortal. Because, I mean, like...
They're immortal, but they have memory lapse issues.
Well, then, so like, here's the thing. So you have the gummies of Gummy Glen. You have the six guys, and I was talking about this earlier to remind me, and I reminded myself. So you have the six gummies from Gummy Glen, and they are not familial related. That none of them are the offspring of the other ones. Like Grammy and Gruffy are not a couple, and they didn't have the rest of them. So none of them are related.
Definitely wasn't going to be Tummy. You can't find it.
No, exactly. So you have this family unit that's not related. Like, where did they come from? You would think that whoever gave birth to Cubby and Sunny would still be alive, right?
That's never explained. The only thing that I could maybe think of, they don't mention it in any of the episodes that we watch, but Kevin has this gummy medallion. And the gummy medallion eventually, this is how he meets the gummy bears, sort of. He sort of has to hide from some ogres, and then he follows the gummy bears because they sort of save him, and then they find out he has a medallion, they become friends. The gummy medallion opens up this book full of, like, gummy bear mystery.
Zummy says that the book hasn't been opened in 100 years.
But that is not, well, okay, maybe it's possible. Because what I was going to mention is, Kevin gets the medallion from his grandfather.
Who is introduced in later episodes.
In later episodes. And he got it because another gummy bear dropped it.
Yeah, when he was a kid.
When he was a kid.
When Kevin's grandfather
was a kid. So the only thing I can think of is his grandpa's got to be over 100 years old then. Because it hasn't been opened in 100 years. Because whatever gummy bear who dropped it, they had to have known that that thing goes for the book. Because as soon as they got into Gummy Glen, the thing glows like, hey, holy shit, come open me. You know? So I'm thinking that their lifespan is probably, I would say the lifespan is probably like in the 150 year range. I don't think they're immortal.
Well, because
you found online?
No. There's no, that's the thing, is that there's no outside lore. There's no official.
There's not enough, like, nerds out there trying to speculate on, like, a fanfic for immortal gummies.
Because, like, okay, so Zummy is an old, he's essentially like an old man. You would place him probably in his 50s or 60s. You would probably place, like, Grammy. You would think that her name is Grammy.
I thought that Zummy was probably in his 70s, 80s.
Okay, so Zummy's in his 70s, 80s. Let's just say that. Grammy, you would think, is being, like, 60s, her 60s, 70s. 70s.
Gruffy's probably like 40s
and 50. Yeah. 40 to 50. And like I said, Tummy is probably like a teenager to maybe 20.
Tummy? No. See, I figured Tummy was like the lackadaisical, like middle-aged unemployed dude.
I always placed him as like either a teenager or like 20.
Even as a kid, I thought Tummy is like the lazy, unemployable, middle-aged dude who can't get a job because he's too lazy.
Yeah.
That's how I saw him.
I saw him more as like a teenager, and then you had Sonny.
Emotionally he is.
Well, because each one of them to me represents a generation. So you've got Zummy, who's like 70. You've got Grammy, who's like 60. Gruffy, who's like 50. And then like...
That's why I think Tummy's like 40s.
I guess
and then
maybe.
Sonny skips and she's like maybe like 17.
I think Sonny is younger. I think Sonny's like 13, and then Cubby is like 10.
Okay, maybe.
But so that's the thing, is that you have these characters that should have parents but don't. And like, where did they come from? Because they're the descendants. They say that they're the descendants of the gummies that stayed in.
So where are all of the? There's no way. I mean, the only thing
there
can
should
think
be
of,
at least 20 other gummies around.
The only thing that I'm thinking of is it's been so many generations that the population has dwindled that they didn't have enough stay to maintain a population. And so as they slowly lost their population, like now they just have six. And now they're panicking because it's all that they got, but they don't know what else to do because they're, say, hundreds of years removed from their technology.
Yeah, and that's
society. And which is the other thing that I always thought was weird, because Gruffy always talks about, quote, the gummy way, but how the fuck does Gruffy know what the gummy way is if they're hundreds of years removed from gummy society?
Yeah, it's sort of like, yeah, I don't even know how to, the whole situation with them is weird, which is why I was saying that I feel like the gummy bears just, maybe you can change the name of it, but I feel like it's ripe for redoing, because you could...
And make it a show more for teenagers, make them a little taller and less, rounded, and make them more kind of
because
tougher looking.
No, because that's the thing, is the underlying theme of the show is them trying to reconnect to their roots. Them trying to reconnect to their lost civilization. Yeah. It's essentially like a group of Atlanteans got expelled from Atlantis 100 years ago, and they're trying to figure out how to get back, because that's what they're trying to do. They're always trying to like contact the great gummies across the sea. They're trying to figure out how to use the technology that they still have. They're trying to reconnect with their roots. So you could make a show that is episodic and deals with the everyday goings on of what happens to them, but still have them address those more sort of overarching issues of like, who am I? Where did I come from? And how can I get back to this place where I was? Because they were a once great society in the context of the show. They were a once great society that freely interacted with humans. And then at some point in their history, the humans betrayed them and they all fled.
Well, according to legend, but see, they don't even know exactly what happened. The legend says in the episode that we watched that actually shows that.
Yeah, and which is part of the reason that I picked that episode.
Yeah, you picked Light Makes Right,
Where the gummy bears find a...
They opens up with the story of what happened to the gummy nation, and they all left. There was like a fire, and there was this... some sort of cataclysmic event.
Took that as a war. Like, there was a war or something that went on.
I feel like it could have been anything, but they never explain exactly what it was.
But the point is that they left, and they're waiting for...
And they left on, like, giant Spanish galleons.
Yeah, and they were waiting for word that it was safe to return, which is why I thought it was a war. Because if it was just a fire, they'd leave and then come back. But if it was a war and there was aggression, they would have left and been waiting to know if it's safe to come back.
Well, the basis of that episode, the one that you picked, since we're talking about it, is that they've got a giant magnifying glass that can either burn shit or reflect a light across the sea to send and receive messages.
It's essentially a giant telegraph.
Yes. And what I liked, there's a quote that I really liked from Igthorn. Where he's got some sort of book that tells him about Gummy Legend 2 or something. It's a children's nursery rhyme book. And so he decides he's going to go look for it. And before he decides to go look for it, when he's deciding that he needs something, he says that...
I need a real weapon. Something that will... Grind Castle Dunwinner to dust.
How comes his dukiness get mad at painting all the time?
Because they threw me out! I deserve to rule Dunwin! And do you know why?
Because you snappy dresser?
Because I'm a peaceful man!
Yes, yes, most peaceful.
I'm loved by everyone!
Adored, oh gentle one.
And I really like that juxtaposition in his character where he's talking about grinding people to dust and he needs a weapon to destroy people. Because he's a peaceful man.
And yeah, I think... Because Igthorn's modus operandi is that he wants to conquer Dunwin.
He sees himself as like this like messiah-like character who will bring stability to Dunwin, but nobody wants him.
Yeah, because he's an asshole.
And because Dunwin's doing just fine without him.
Yeah, but I wanted to say too, when we were talking about the good humans, I like King Gregor because...
He is such an idiot.
No. I think he's funny because he's definitely the guy who skips leg day at the gym. He is a huge, massive guy with tiny, spindly legs.
Itty-bitty legs?
Yeah. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
He totally is an orange on a toothpick.
Yeah.
And in the first episode when we kind of meet Igthorn, he spends most of his time planning his outfit for when he wins instead of actually planning how to win. And that is like Igthorn's whole thing, is every episode is him trying to beat Dunwin. Beat the gummies, and he spends the majority of his time worrying about how he looks, how he'll be perceived, his persona, and not actually doing it.
Yeah, he's all about pomp and circumstance and not actually execution.
And there's this funny thing that happens in that first episode, since we're still kind of mentioning it, where Igthorn, he gets a hold of some gummy bear juice, which for humans only works once a day.
Which is a funny little thing that happens.
That they work into the show. But so it only works in humans once a day.
It gives them super strength.
Yeah, it gives them super strength. Super strength and all this stuff. So he has this giant catapult, and he climbs into the catapult, drinks a gummy berry juice, and he's standing there and he's holding it. And I don't know what he was thinking standing in the catapult with the thing, but he's holding it, and then all of a sudden the gummy berry juice wears off and it drops and crushes him inside the catapult. And then the ogres launch the catapult and him and the boulder with it. And they just smash into the wall. And it's like a really funny sight gag where he's holding it and then it dies and then the stuff drops on him and then it launches him.
Because there's a sound cue when the gummy berry juice dies. It goes like...
Yeah. And I think a lot... Like Igthorn, a lot of it is... he's got a lot of this like kind of physical comedy stuff. Sort of slapsticky.
Either stuff that happens to him or stuff he does, because he physically abuses Toadie a lot.
Yes. And the second episode, Sinister Sculptor, I kind of remember this one from as a kid, because there's basically the juxt of this episode is that there's a guy with magic powder that can freeze shit. And then you can use a stone and read some shit on it, and it unfreezes stuff. And the gummy bears accidentally get caught. Some of them do. And then they get unfrozen. They chase the guy down. And they unfreeze all the animals that he was freezing and selling to make money. And they attack him and they win. And that was the end of that story.
Yeah.
Each one is it seems to be
they're all pretty self-contained.
Yeah, they're all self-contained.
Like, self-contained little 11-minute stories. And but they're, to me, they're interesting. And really, the overarching thing is the thing that I'm the most interested in, is them reconnecting with their epic, you know, backstory.
And the infrastructure. Like, in the third episode, Zombie Makes It Hot, they had this, like, extensive, like water transportation infrastructure.
Yeah, they had this huge aqueduct.
That was 30 miles away. That's what they said. They said that's 30 miles east of here. So they used the quick tunnels to get there.
And they actually said in it, they're like, when they got to the pumping station, I think Zummy says, you know, this must have provided water to every gummy like
in their area.
Like, it was a
hundreds
huge,
of gummies. Thousands
yeah, it was a
of
huge
gummies.
Pumping station,
and it's been operating for all of this time without anybody working on it. So the gummies were pretty industrious.
They were seemingly the most technologically advanced culture in the area.
Hence your episode that you picked, right? With the giant lens telescope that they use to communicate across the ocean.
Or blast the shit out of stuff.
Yeah. Which is kind of a funny one. My episode, My Gummy Lies Over the Ocean, I picked it because it's another one of the rare, like, full-length episodes.
22-minute episodes.
And it's where we meet Gusto Gummy.
Yeah, and this one puts the difference between Gruffy and Gusto in stark contrast.
Well, and in some ways, Tummy is sort of a contrast to Gruffy, too, because Gruffy's the hardworking, industrious one, and Tummy...
He's lazy.
At every turn, they're out picking berries, and he's eating them. They're working on something, he's sleeping. You know, they're supposed to be fixing something, and he's out building a model boat, which is what happens to this one. And
except he builds a real boat.
Except he builds a real one because he wants to see...
We've got to chop it up. No! Gruffy, please! All my life, I've only built models. Just once, I had to build a real boat.
And they end up getting sucked out into the ocean, and they somehow end up on this weird island that's imagine the ocean has a big hole in it, and an island poking up through the hole, and now there's a space between where the water dives over the edge of the hole and the island. And yeah. They somehow end up on the island and don't fall in the hole and die. And the hole magically doesn't fill up. Yeah. And on the center of the island is a big fucking volcano.
Yeah. That's where you meet Gusto.
Gummies? I don't believe it! You make the clam dip and I'll bring the chips. Be right down! Ta-da!
Holds for applause.
Hi! I'm Augustus Gummy. Gusto for short. I'm so glad to see you guys. How are you? And can we get out the way you came in?
Who's been stuck there for at least 12 years.
Yeah.
Because him and his bird Artie have been working on this dragon statue for 12 years, so who knows how long he was there before that.
Which makes me wonder, like, where did Gusto come from? Did they ever explain that?
I don't remember, but, like, I feel like, see, that's another thing that got skipped that they could have discussed.
Yeah.
But what I liked about that episode is there's this great line with Gruffy that kind of shows, I think, why I like Gruffy, where he goes,
I wonder how long it takes to starve.
In your case, about 2 years.
That's where, when they're on the boat, actually.
Yeah.
And Tommy's, like, worried that he's going to starve to death. And Gruffy's basically saying, you're not going to starve. Trust me. Like,
yeah.
Your body will cannibalize. He actually, Gruffy gets a lot of lines like that.
He's got a lot of sarcastic humor.
Yeah. Stuff that the kids appreciate. Mine thinks Gruffy's hilarious.
Yeah. Gruffy and Grammy have a lot of, in the second episode with the sculptor, he and Grammy have a big fight, and then they end up having
they're the ones who save everybody.
Yeah, they're the ones that have to work together at the end and put aside their differences. So overall, did this show live up to your expectations? You watched some of it, and so it's maybe a little bit less in the nostalgia goggles for you.
Well, what I'm going to do is try and speak to what I remember of the show versus what I watched about a year ago when I started rewatching it. So, I will say, the show is good. Objectively, it's a good show.
Still to this day,
it's an enjoyable show. There's no reason why they shouldn't repackage it and re-show it. I will say, some of the episodes, I did get a little... Because I've watched, like, several seasons now. Some of the episodes, after binging, like, say, four at a time,
I would start to get a, I'd start zoning out and playing on my phone instead. I'd get bored. I do think this show could also do a remake. I think that would actually be a cool thing to do. Get as many of the original voice casts as possible.
That are still alive. That are
still alive or physically capable.
Yeah, I don't know if June Foray is still doing voice acting at this
I
point.
I don't think she is at like 90-something years old. Yeah, but I'm thinking I will say that going back and trying to analyze it for the show versus what I remember. What I remember as a kid was that this show was like this magical place.
Mm-hmm.
That the world of the gummies was a magical, mysterious place. It was a big world. It felt like there was so much out there, partially because of all the technology stuff and all the other places that they discuss but never go to. There's other episodes, like there's one where some gummies come in on a hot air balloon in another episode in, I think it's season one. It's like a pirate gummy or something.
Yeah.
And so there's all of this stuff that never gets...
There's this underlying lore that is ripe for... someone to come in and actually build on.
I felt like they never built on it the way that they should have.
Yeah, that's what that was my whole point, in that they could absolutely do a new version of this and build on the existing lore, because there's nothing to contradict them. They could just build off of what they have and make completely new characters and completely new show, like completely new.
They could cut and paste the original episodes. Just new animation, maybe some new voice actors, but basically the same script even.
Mm-hmm.
And then just cut in a few episodes here or there that gave more lore,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. So that it was less episodic, you know? I mean, you'd still have the episodic stuff to it, but that you would still have this other stuff dispersed into it. I feel like this show, it was wildly successful for its time.
And for good reason.
And people remember it fondly. My kid is a really good example of kids today who like it. My 8-year-old nephew also, I've shown him some episodes and he likes it too. It's definitely a show that works for kids, but I don't understand why they don't promote it more. It's a franchise that really could be making. There's six
seasons. And this is the thing. This is the thing about the show too. This is from the Disney Afternoon. It's one of two original properties for Disney. All the other shows on the Disney Afternoon used existing properties. I mean, they were existing Disney properties with Mickey and Donald and Goofy and whatever. This is an original creation that they have every single right to. It's not like they borrowed it from somebody.
No.
So they could do what they want with it.
They could. And I think it's the one... we're the next several weeks, we're going to be finishing out the original lineup of the Disney Afternoon.
Disney Afternoon.
That's right. So, you know, the next couple weeks we'll be doing some DuckTales and we'll be doing some Rescue Rangers and Tailspin. And of all of those, I mean, you know, you might have your favorite. Maybe it's not this one. Maybe it is. There's other ones that we're, you know, I feel like of the four of them, this one is the one that is most ripe.
Yeah.
Most ripe to get redone or just copy pasted and reshown. That they could make so much money on.
Yeah, why don't you want to make money?
Like, why don't you want to make money, like, off the back of my nostalgia?
No, and I feel the same way. Like, this show, like you said, this show could easily be just rebroadcast and probably...
And toys, too. Yeah. So many toys it could be making. Do you remember the toy? It was a bouncy ball. One half was a bouncy ball and the other half was a gummy bear. The bouncy ball was their butt.
I don't remember that.
I had one, and it was Grammy Gummy.
We didn't mention that. That's what the gummy berry juice did to the gummies, is that it made them bounce. And the gummy berry juice, on the effect on the gummies, lasted essentially as long as they needed it to, but for humans it lasted like 30 seconds.
And they could reuse it over and over again, but they always seem to only carry one or two vials at a time. Well, stupid, but whatever.
But this show could definitely use a revamp, a redo. The thing about, like... That's the thing, is that there is so much existing potential for, like, lore and to world build. And to make it almost less cartoony. Because that's the thing, like, you have these, like, 3-foot-tall bears that are the...
Based off of a German candy.
Yeah.
Made of, you know, gelatin.
Yeah. So you have these 3-foot bears. You could definitely revamp it a little bit, make it a little bit more adult, entice the young adults, the kid, like the teenagers, the young adults, maybe even entice the adults who are who were part of the show. I mean, I know that it runs the risk, like Thundercats, when they redid it a couple years ago.
Well, we do have DuckTales getting redone soon, too.
We do. That is true. So, by the time this episode broadcasts, that's probably already happened.
It looks like it's going to be third quarter. So maybe soon around the time that we do it, but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So it's ripe for redoing. It's ripe for world building. You've already said that your daughter loves the old one, the 30-year-old one.
This one, yes. She loves the show. Hell, she cried last night because I was watching it without her.
We love the show, just watching it, rewatching it.
Did you have any destruction or building of your nostalgia goggles?
The show, I will say that part of the show is a little, I mean, it is an old kid show. So there are a few instances of things that are like annoying. Like Sunny is very typically like a late 80s, early 90s, like teen, like preteen. So she's a little bit annoying. But overall, it's still a good show. Like the characters for the most part are timeless. Like
they don't have any weird pop culture references.
Yeah, there are zero pop culture references. The show takes place in the Middle Ages.
Well, there is one pop culture reference that we found. We had to like look for it frame by frame.
Yeah, so
it's something that I saw online and I told you about it, and you're like, no, it's not.
So in the episode that I picked, the one about the one with the laser,
Light Makes Right.
So in the episode guide that we found online, they said that there was a reference to Lupin the Third,
which is a Japanese anime.
Yeah. So we were looking, and I literally went frame by frame in the episode, because Kevin essentially flips through a book of gummy nursery rhymes, and that's where it happened. So I had to go frame by frame, and I finally found where it mentions Lupin and Goemon.
Yeah.
So those were two main characters.
Two of the characters from Lupin.
In Lupin the Third. And what the hell was the point of doing that?
I don't know. There's other, like, yeah, there's... It makes no sense why they would do that, but
whatever. That's the only like pop culture referencing that we found while rewatching it.
But it's so obscure that like you have to pause it and go literal frame by frame to find it.
I was tapping my space bar, just like da 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 da, and I finally saw it because he flips through a book of mostly nonsense, and then you see Lupin the Third and Goemon. So whatever,
and then it's gone. Yeah.
Ultimately, I would recommend this show to rewatch it. I'm assuming you would be the same thing.
I definitely would recommend it. I see no reason why kids or adults wouldn't enjoy this. You could definitely, this is one you could watch a couple episodes at a time and be totally okay with it.
Yeah,
and
then episodic, turn it off. Episodic shows, you can do that. Because the episodes are so different.
Well, they're also so short, too.
11 minutes.
I mean, don't sit and watch 3 hours of Gummy Bears. You might actually end up not liking the show. You watch several hours in one sitting, but... you know, maybe an hour, you know, you could watch like or maybe just 30 minutes, watch like three episodes and then walk away because it's so short.
Ultimately, I would recommend the show. You would recommend it?
Wholeheartedly. Yeah.
All right. So if you want to find us and talk to us on Twitter, our Twitter handle is @RemasteredCast. That is @RemasteredCast.
You can also find us on Facebook. Just search for Childhood Remastered. Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. The rating really helps us out.
Yeah, and we'd also like to thank John Howarth for the use of our intro music, Nascent. You can find links to his SoundCloud on our website, childhoodremastered.com. And stay tuned next week when we delve more into the Disney afternoon.
With DuckTales.
DuckTales! Woo!
Oh, yeah.
But until then, until then, this is Sean.
And Chris.
And this has been your Childhood Remastered. We will see you next time.